What's the difference between a sailboat and a motorboat? The sails, the power. The steam? The speed. I don't know, with my, there's probably some sailboats can go faster than my, well, probably this motorboat's gonna go faster than my 1 horsepower electric trolling motor. I'll get through it, or not. But certainly where they derive their power from. The sailboat obviously is dependent on the winds. No wind, no go. You just sit there, you're dead in the water, the currents might kind of drift you around. But also if the wind's strong in your face, being able to go straight ahead, that's not gonna work. You're gonna have to go off to the side and back around. Unfortunately, our sailor guys aren't here because they know what all this stuff is. But I know enough, like you all do, sailboats require wind to go. The motorboat, it doesn't really matter. Certainly, if you got a strong headwind, you got big waves, it's gonna hamper your forward progress. You get a strong wind behind you, it'll help you go faster, more fuel efficiently. But you can do your own thing if you have a motor, if you have a strong enough motor. Sailboats are at the whim of the wind. And I believe in our lives, God wants us to be more the sailboat. He's placed the winds. God is in control of everything. God is sovereign. God knows what he's doing. We might say, believe, I have to go over there, but man, I got a strong headwind. This just isn't working. I could go way off this way a couple miles and then come way back here, and it's going to take me forever. I'm going to try to muscle my way, but it's just not working. Or I could, if I just put a motor here, I could just do my own thing. It doesn't really matter what the wind is saying. I'm in control. Well, we know God wants to be in control. God is in control. God has a way of removing control from our lives when we want to be the ones in control. God wants us to be sailboats. And being in a sailboat, for those of you who have sailed, know that that doesn't mean passive. In fact, that there's a lot of hard work if you're sailing. You got to raise the sails. You got to do all sorts of things. Right, David? You have to do things. You have to do things. It's not a passive activity. Trying to catch the wind and navigating your course, there's a lot more into it. But once again, trying to yield and harvest, reap the wind that the Lord has provided. And once again, in our lives, it's not just pass. All right, God, whatever you want to do. All right, well, what's my end? What is obedience? What hard work do I need to do? To couple with what you provided in my life, what you want me to do. It's not just a passive activity. So we're going to see here in our scripture here this morning in Acts chapter 5, the apostles are going to get arrested. And there could be some certainly, well, this isn't right, this is unjust. Where's the justice in all of this? But we don't hear any complaining, anything, but God knows what he's doing. He brings his winds and they get broken out of prison. God knows what he's doing to try to accomplish his will. And we think we have an understanding, but we have a limited perspective in what God's trying to do in our lives. But looking back last week, there were many signs and wonders being done at the hands of these apostles. People, the crowds were holding them in high esteem. They were healing people. Multitudes, more than ever, were coming to know Jesus as Savior. Record numbers. How are the Jewish leaders going to react? As the people not going to them? The people flocking here from Judaism to following these apostles who have seemingly disregarded the teachings of their fathers? Most people don't handle that very well. When you have power and it seems to be taken away from you, and that's what's going to happen here this morning. Let me pray for our time. Lord, help us to understand your word. Help us to understand your heart, your will. May you do and show us wonderful things in your word this morning. May we be changed people as a result. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So there's all these healings, multitudes are coming to know the Lord. And then chapter 5, verse 17, Luke writes, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him," that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. So we have the apostles filled with the Holy Spirit doing whatever God's told them to do, laying on the hands of people. People are getting healed. Multitudes are coming. They're saying wonderful things about God, relaying his truth. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God. These men clearly are not. They are filled with jealousy. These are the ones in power. These are the ones in control, and they're losing their people. They feel that they should be the one held in high esteem. This is theirs. They're the leaders. This is the high priest. I'm the one that goes into the temple on behalf of you all. I'm the one that goes to God on behalf of you all. You should be coming to me if you want God's healing. Hey, you should be coming to me for anything about the Lord. I'm the mediator between the people and God. Don't like losing that power. Jealous, this new group is holding them in high esteem and not the Sadducees. Jealous, I believe the people should be coming to them to get closer to God. Jealous that God was doing this through the apostles and not through the Sadducees. You should be doing this stuff through us. No, Scripture doesn't say that. I imagine, man, look at all this. There's no denying what's going on here. As a result, all 12 were put into prison. Put into public prison. Their whole ministry was public, and now their imprisonment would be public, but it's going to show God's hand here. Then verse 19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people. Tell them all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. So we have an angel of the Lord breaks out the people. This messenger from God with authority from God comes to break out these apostles. What's missing here in the scripture, and you can read between the lines, we don't see them petitioning the Lord. Lord, we're in prison. This is unjust. This is not right. What do you want to do? Free your people so we can go. We're supposed to be out there. I think that they took this all in stride. All right, Lord, what do you want to do? Peter and John had already been arrested before. They had spoke before the high priest and the council and everybody. They've done this before. All right, is this now an opportunity you want us to share your truth with the leaders? Perhaps, I don't know, do you want to share the truth with the prisoners? I believe the apostles are this sailboat. All right, God, whatever you want us to do, we're here for your glory. They're looking outside of their immediate circumstances. The angel says, go stand up in the temple and speak the words of life. Break them out. So that's what they do. When they heard this, they entered the table at daybreak and began to speak. But what are the words of this life? You need to go tell them about the eternal life, this new life that you have in Christ. You need to tell them this good news. Well, you're a new creation. Jesus, he died on the cross, and he was raised from the dead. This resurrection, this newness of life that Jesus gets. And by faith, we have the same thing. By faith, you can have the same thing. Tell them about this life you have. You don't have that old life anymore. You're new creations in Christ. The apostles were broken out of jail for one purpose, to glorify God, to continue their calling and orders of being Jesus' witnesses. They weren't broken out for their comfort. It wasn't because, oh man, this is terrible, this is hard. They weren't broken out because of justice, because they were wrongfully imprisoned. It's all about God's glory. It's all to point to God. The leaders can't stop the work of God. They can imprison them and the angels will break them out. They tried to bury Jesus. Angel broke Jesus out of the ground. Rose Jesus from the dead. You can't stop the work of God. We're going to see that from Gamaliel next week as we continue the passage. We're not going to go that far this week. But the leaders can't stop the work of God. Even this Jewish leader, he says that, you know, if this is of God, you can't stop it. No matter what you do, it's not going to work. If it's not from God, let it fizzle out. Let them be a dud. No harm, no foul. But God sent this angel to break them out. The people continue to hear the good news. The apostles and believers, I imagine, were greatly encouraged by what God was doing. There's probably this shot in the arm, this renewed, oh man, we're in prison. Well, all right, whatever. But now, ooh, God, man, God is absolutely on our side. He's breaking us out of prison. In verse 21, they were obedient. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak. First prayer. They didn't go home to get a good night's rest. They didn't go, let's wait till 9 o'clock or noon. We got a bunch of prayers we can go ahead and do. The first opportunity, they were there in the temple, obedient to God, to teach the people about the gospel. Their obedience was not delayed. Now when the high priest came, and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened, we found no one inside." They call these leaders together to have this great show of power to interrogate them, to intimidate them. But there's this incredible mystery. No, they were locked up. The gates were secure. The guards were there. They're gone. It's baffling mystery. Baffles all logic, all sense. Once again, similar to Jesus. I mean, they had all the Roman guards there. Their lives were on the line if Jesus escaped. Yet the angel was able to overpower them. But with this, it's almost as if God was blinding the eyes of the guards. Nobody else knew what was going on. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. The captain, the chief priests, they're greatly perplexed, greatly confused. What was going on? What's this going to come to? What's going to happen? Are we going to get in trouble? Are we going to get killed for this? But somebody came, "Hey, these men who you locked up, they're teaching the word of God right now." Relayed this wonderful news. So the captain, as we see, captain and the officers, they went and brought them, but they didn't use force. Remember, the people were enamored by them. The people held them in high esteem. They were healing the Jews. They were teaching the truth about God. The Holy Spirit is active. And to go and disrupt all of this would mean their lives. The people cared more about the apostles than their own leaders, because the truth is coming here. So they do it delicately, then brought them back. But what's interesting, the apostles go with them. There's no force. The apostles just walk with them. "Hey, you need to come with us." Okay, you're all the boss. You're the authority here. You want us to go with? The angel had just been there, I don't know, 6 hours ago, said you must go and preach. It would be easy for us on our human. No, this is what God told me to do. You can go pound sand over there. The angel came, and I'm going to stay here. You don't want the angel to come and mess with you. I have all this behind. No. All right, if you guys are coming, the angel didn't say how long. Angel said, go and speak the truth. Go and tell them. So they're still under the authority. They submitted to that authority, which is important. Speaks to their character. "I'll submit to your request." So they go in front of the people. And the apostles are reprimanded. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." So in front of everybody, they lay out the charges. Once again, probably trying to intimidate intimidate them to stop this. Hey, we've already charged you once before, Peter, John, not to do this. We gave you very firm commands. I say this man, this name, they can't even mention the name Jesus. There's just something about this and just so much anger, so much frustration. You know, Jesus to them, he's a blasphemer. He's a traitor. Great hatred. We strictly charged you not to. Yet Jerusalem is filled, even by their own account, Jerusalem is filled with this teaching that God is working wonderful things. Last week we saw it was spreading outside of Jerusalem. People were bringing people into the city, so Peter's own shadow would just cross by, they'd be healed. God is spreading, God is filling, God is doing wonderful things here. But we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet you fill Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You're trying to get the people against us, saying, "Hey, your leaders killed him. What are you trying to do? We didn't do anything." I'm not sure if they're quite saying that, but we know that during the trial, Pilate said, "I can't find any guilt in this man," and he said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." So yeah, the blood is on them. Pentecost sermon, Peter says himself, "You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." And the lame man in the crowd, he said, "You killed the author of life." And from the council last time, Peter says to him, "Whom you crucified, you all killed Jesus." Yes, Peter and the apostles have been saying this. It's the truth, and that the shoe fits, wear it. So we need to speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth as the Holy Spirit guides us. Speak the truth not to win an argument. If you notice the sign out there, what is godly boldness? It's boldness to glorify God. It's not boldness so that I can win. I like winning. Right, sweetheart? I like winning. Who doesn't like winning? But boldness for the glory of God, it's not about me. Lord, this is about you. This is truth. No, you killed him. They're going in front of the leaders. No, you killed him. This man whom you crucified. They said this in the context of trying to illuminate this truth to their hearts, to bring about repentance. Not just, "You did this. You're going to burn in hell for all eternity, you terrible people." Sometimes it comes off that way when we get frustrated with others. But no, they're trying to, "Hey, let me bring you to the reality of what has happened here. This is bad. You killed the author of life." Not out of their flesh, the wrath, the malice that easily gets wrapped up. But try to bring a pound of repentance. Peter responds, as well as the rest of them. Oops. No. But Peter said to Peter, and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Sorry, it's not up there. "We must obey God rather than men. The angel has come. He released us, said, you must go in there and preach. You must tell the people about this word of life. You need to go. I'm sorry that you are our leaders, absolutely, which is why we followed the officers here. We're willing to submit to your authority as long as it doesn't conflict with what God has revealed to us. God is very clear, we're to be his witnesses. We're going to go ahead and follow the Lord." And then comes his evangelistic plea. Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus." The God of our fathers. Hey, this is our fathers. The God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, our collective fathers, the same God whom we worship. He raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. They're not going to be intimidated from saying the truth. Hey, you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, if the shoe fits, wear it. This is what happened. You killed him by hanging on a tree. Once again, not to try to push them down and you're terrible, awful people, but hey, here's the reality of what's going on. You all did kill him, but God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior. Leader over the people, savior of all sins, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And Jesus died and he rose from the grave to change your hearts. Whoa. oh no, I made a huge mistake. And in our lives, we all come to those points. Oh no, I really fouled up. I really dropped the ball. And we have a gracious, loving God who we can come back to time and time again. Said, oh no, I've dropped the ball here. I've really messed up. Our group read this morning in Sunday school class, David's repentance, his humility in front of God. Lord, I sinned against you with Bathsheba. I killed her husband. I basically committed kingly rape. I did all these terrible things. Lord, forgive me. And God forgives. He's the forgiver of sins. And Peter says, and we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We're witnesses of our character, the things that are doing. This is showing that Jesus is still doing his ministry, all these people getting healed, the Holy Spirit doing these wonderful works, the tongues coming out, the healings, everything else. God's given this Holy Spirit not just to the certain prophets or kings, but to everybody who obeys him. You know, hey, we saw Jesus post-resurrection. He came and he visited us. So that they stand firm with this council, knowing full well that they could go ahead and get them killed. But they're willing to stand firm for the Lord. Where God is clear, where the word of God is clear, where God's commands are clear, we must be firm. We should be lovingly firm. We don't want to be jerks. Plenty of credible accusations out there against the church. Because we spoke the truth, we just did it in loudness. We did it in anger. We did it in whatever selfish motives. But we need to be firm on the truth, firm where God is firm. We can allow for differences where there are differences. It might be a personal conviction, but for you, it's not. God gives us gray areas, but where things are firm that, yes, Jesus is the only way to get into heaven, faith in Jesus alone. Nothing else. It's not how good I was or how good I could be. No, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and God rose him from the dead. There's no wiggle room in there. But for our big idea today, I want to take us back and look at, well, you know what? God knows how to accomplish his purposes. From a human standpoint, you have the leaders of the church, these 12 men, they've been arrested, they're in jail. What's God going to do here? But I don't believe these men worried. And so I'd encourage us not to worry about your negative circumstances, not to worry about what's going on, not to worry about, hey, man, this cannot possibly be God's will. This can't possibly work out. This cannot possibly turn to anything good. We believe in and we serve a sovereign God, a God who's king over all of these things, God who's over to overcome any obstacle, any oppression, any situation, if that's not where he wants us. Oftentimes that is where he wants us. He's trying to do a bigger work in our heart. He's trying to do something bigger. But perhaps for that moment, that season in time, yeah, I want you here. But we want to take that step back. All right, Lord, what are you trying to do? How are you most glorified in this situation? Lord, what do you want? What are you doing here? Let's look at Jesus. Did Jesus petition to the Father before going to the cross? Absolutely. The Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is there. He's sweating out blood. Father, if it be your will, take this cup from my hand. But not my will, yours be done. I don't want to go to the cross. And Jesus is God. He knows what's about to happen. But he's willing to suffer this death. Because it's about God's bigger will. Lord, what are you trying to do in this? If there's any other way for salvation to come, for forgiveness of sins to come, please do it. But he was crucified. And it was only afterwards that God raised him from the dead. Sometimes we're going to have to go through those pretty serious, significant things. And then afterwards, we see the redemption that God was doing, what God was doing in there. But it's not just Jesus. We see in Pentecost, God knows how to accomplish his purposes. How is he going to let everybody know about this? Let's go ahead and give them the gift of tongues. I'm sure none of the apostles were thinking, man, how are we going to reach all these people? What are we? They're concerned about number one. How are we going to speak in these different languages? I don't have that app on my phone right now. This isn't going to work. But the Holy Spirit comes and gives them that ability, and they're now speaking all these different tongues. God knows how to accomplish his purposes. Making this great noise, and Peter's able to speak to the leaders. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, certainly the fiery furnace seems like an impossible to overcome situation. But they send them in there as they're going in. The guards are getting burned up, and they're inside the fiery furnace, and the king looks in, and there's a fourth person in there with them, dancing around. God knows how to protect his people. God knows how to accomplish his purposes. He's working on the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. God works on the prideful heart. That's his specialty. We know at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, we'll touch upon this tonight at the evangelism class, God softens his heart, brings humility to this man. But God knows how to accomplish his purpose. What about Daniel? Oh man, the lion's den. Well, here's another bad situation. This man won't pray. Well, I got to be obedient to God. God knows how to accomplish his purposes. Shuts the lion's mouth. I wouldn't have thought of any of these. My exit would have been a lot sooner than these difficult things. But God knows how to accomplish his purposes. God knows how to get done what he needs to get done. But are we willing to be that sailboat? Or am I going to trade in my sailboat, whatever the winds, whatever God's taking me, I'm going to trade it in for a nice powerboat. Let me get my 300 horsepower on the back of this thing, and I'm going to overcome anything. It doesn't matter if Hurricane Matthew comes in, or Michael, or whomever's coming here in a few days. We'll be out there. I got to do what I got to do. So God, what does God want from you in this season? Does it require boldness like the apostles? Does it require a significant more trust in God? Trust to step out in faith. Trust to just wait in faith. Action, inaction. Remember those working in the sailboats, they're not passive. All right, God, what do you want me to do? All right, here's what we're doing. Let me go ahead and raise the sails, lower the sails, move the rudder, do whatever else you're trying to do here. Going where the wind takes them. Going where the Lord desires and wants. God knows how to accomplish his purposes. God knows what he's doing. And I would encourage each of us to try to walk with that, walk with him in that. I'm going to go ahead and pray here. And last week, we're going to try to do every week, as we have our closing song, closing hymn, I'll just be down here if you want somebody to pray with. If the Lord's working on your heart, man, I want to know this Jesus. I want to place my faith in him. I would love to pray with you. Or if you just want to pray about anything else, I'm down here and love to pray with you. So let me go ahead and pray now, and I'll be down here as Janice and David close us out here. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that knows how to accomplish your purposes. You can break free the prison bars, or you can unjustly put us into prison. Because you know what you're doing. Lord, may you guide us, direct us this day and each day. Help us to rely on you. Help us to seek what you're doing. Help us to trust in you. Help us to be firm. Guide and direct us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.